Hey, Pardon My Take listeners. You can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. This episode is brought to you by Body Armor Zero Sugar. The brand new zero sugar sports drink from our friends at Body Armor provides real hydration with no artificial sweeteners, flavors, or dyes. And whether you're looking to stay hydrated or recovering from a long weekend, Body Armor Zero Sugar has got you covered with great tasting flavors like fruit punch and lemon lime. Available in stores nationwide, head on over to Body Armor Store on Amazon and get yours today.
What does it take to become a NASCAR legend? Generations of victory.
One of the great masters of the sport.
Motor oil in your veins. Does it take irrational confidence?
Tony Stewart wins.
A little bit of last lap magic. What about fandom that runs in the family? A track where every mile becomes a memory. Or maybe it's simply knowing that new legacies are built one lap at a time. NASCAR Legends, presented by Geico at Talladega, Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern on Fox.
On today's Part of My Take, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Our good friend Stone Cold is back on the show. We have National Championship recap, a huge announcement about our wonderful boy, Billy Football. Get excited for that. We have smelling salts. We're doing it right now. We have smelling salts. We have Guys on Chicks, a packed Wednesday show.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Let's go. Welcome to Part of My Take, presented by the Cash App. Go download it right now. Use code Barstool. You get $10 for free, $10 to ASPCA. Today is Wednesday, January 13th. Happy birthday, Billy Football.
Billy, our young boy, is becoming a man. We knew, Billy.
You didn't think we knew.
It's birthday month here at Part of My Take.
You didn't think we knew, my friend.
Billy knows my birthday.
Billy, I got you something.
What?
Yeah. Here you go.
Look at this.
I know how much you like gains. So I got you $100 worth of meat.
It's been sitting in the studio.
We're going to let the meat.
Billy's like legitimately
excited. We're
going to
let the meat sing. No, hang on. All right, now it's $100 worth of meat.
There we go.
There you go, Billy.
Billy, happy birthday. We have a big announcement for Billy coming up in a minute. We're going to talk about the national championship.
Billy,
but we had to say happy birthday.
Don't open your present into the mic, Billy.
Dude, come on. Come on. Oh, look at that. Canned tuna.
Tuna.
Tuna and chicken.
Tuna.
It's the tuna of the land.
Beef sticks. Oh, my God. You are truly a Labrador Retriever.
He's so happy.
This is the exact same thing when I open up
my
bark box for Stella. She has the same exact reaction. All right. Happy birthday, Billy. We got the Billy announcement coming up in a minute. Let's talk national championship.
Billy, can you put the bag down? Seriously?
Yeah, put the bag down. The Alabama Crimson Tide have won another national championship. Nick Saban is the greatest coach of all time. Unassailable. 7 national titles. 6 with Alabama. 1 with LSU.
Can we say in any sport, Nick Saban is the best coach to ever coach anything?
It's getting there, man, and he's not slowing down. Like, the craziest part is he's going to be 70 next year, and he just won another national title. So
he's got the best recruiting class in the history of recruiting classes already.
It's crazy. He has the number one recruiting class in the history of recruiting classes, let alone Alabama. He has now won 6 titles at Alabama in 14 years. If Nick Saban walked into your living room at any point in the last 14 years, he could say to you and your family, you will win a national title if you come to Alabama, and it true, and it is true.
Mm-hmm.
You can look at it, 09, 11, 12, 15, 17, 20. Even if you only stayed for 3 years, you were guaranteed to win a national title.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking insane.
I think the biggest problem for Coach Saban is, when is he going to get bored? Because he could keep this going until he dies. And if he never gets bored, then I think he would get mad at himself if he started to get bored.
Yep.
And then be like, Nick, you got to get back to work, all right? I think that he's gonna keep doing it. The biggest, it's like the Elijah Moore effect that we talked about, the new butterfly effect, the Elijah Moore effect. If West Virginia had not won that Fiesta Bowl against Oklahoma,
mm-hmm.
when they beat him by like 20 points back in 2008, Nick Saban wanted to go to West Virginia
mm-hmm.
to be their head coach. I think I would love to see Nick Saban at some point go finish his career at West Virginia. Just like maybe once he turns 75, get the end of the run for Saban, have him bring a couple titles to the Mountaineers.
He's not going to slow down. And so the craziest stats are that Nick Saban has – so he's now, like we said, if you walked into a living room – in the last 14 years, he could actually guarantee that you would win a national title if you went to Alabama, and it became true. He has now won 6 national titles at Alabama, 5 different offensive coordinators, 3 different defensive coordinators. That's crazy. He basically has to just turn over his staff every single year. He had to turn over his strength and conditioning coach that he had forever this year. They got somehow better. Devontae Smith was insane. And then the 2017 recruiting class is going to be football porn for like ever. Because so depending on how this draft goes, there will be 10 guys that will be drafted in the top 50 picks. Right now, so Tua went in the first round, Jedrick Wills, Henry Ruggs, Jerry Jeudy, and Xavier McKinney went in the second round. That was last year. This year, it will be Mac Jones, Devontae Smith, Najee Harris, Alex Leatherwood, and Dylan Moses. Those will be like first, second rounders. 10 guys in one recruiting class are going to be first or second rounders. They had 3 Heisman finalists. That's fucking insane. Like,
yeah.
Think about how insane of a recruiting class that is to have 10 guys that are drafted in the top 50 of the NFL draft from one recruiting class. And on top of all this, you'll love this, PFT. So all those guys, you know, it's going to end up being somewhere around 7, 8, 9 first rounders. They also, in that recruiting class, got Thomas Fletcher, long snapper, 4-year starter, not one bad snap.
I love that.
So
that's
even
perfect.
The
so,
details.
So draft him. Draft
the details.
Belichick's going to draft that guy. Turn him into a slot receiver. He's the next gunner.
That's Nick Saban, though. Down to the details. All these guys, all these insane prospects that he's like, yep. And we also have a long snapper who played 4 straight years and didn't miss a single snap.
It's incredible. The run that he's going on is nuts. But it is, it's starting to make college football a little bit boring if you don't appreciate greatness. Us as a podcast, I think one thing you can always say about us is we respect greatness.
See, I still don't think – I mean, I guess it would change it. My view would change if I were a fan of Ohio State or Clemson.
Well,
or
even Ohio State. Like, Ohio State has gotten to the point where they are the Alabama of the Midwest.
Yes.
Where it's like they're going to be dominant, and they've got the program set up to a point where – they're not going to have any really down years. A down year for them is like maybe they lose the Big Ten.
They lost to Purdue or Iowa, one of those weird losses.
Yeah, that's as bad as it's going to get there. But Alabama is like so far above. Don't know what's going on behind the scenes there. Frankly, I don't care.
Well,
if you can reach a point where you're able to get away with cheating for as long as Nick Saban has been dominant in the SEC, like, good for you.
Yeah.
That's actually more impressive than winning all those things if you can just continually duck all the NCAA investigation, whatever it is. And Saban might, I was about to say he might not be bending the rules or cheating at all, but I'm not going to say that. But it's just all impressive what he's done down there.
It's crazy.
Credit to LSU for being the combo breaker there.
Yeah. And it's crazy because he's done it with defense. He's done it with offense. He basically changed the entire, like, that I've referenced it, but the kick 6 game when they were running RPOs against him, he couldn't stop it. And I think there was that moment where he even said, like, is this how we want football to be? And everyone's like, yeah, it is. Remember Brett Bielema tried to change the rules? And Nick Saban co-signed, but Nick Saban also was like, if these rules don't change, which they won't, we'll just beat them with offense. So he's completely changed how he's molded Alabama. It's insane. There's nothing really else you can say besides he's the best ever. And, I don't know. I don't know what else. Like, the Bear Bryant. So I was looking up last night. I was reading more about Bear Bryant just because I don't – I mean, he was – a coach before we were born. You died before we were born. But he might be the ultimate football guy, because I didn't realize this. So Bear Bryant also has 6 national titles. Nick Saban broke his record last night. He said in his last game, he played in the Liberty Bowl versus Illinois, they won. And the reporter asked him, he was retiring, he said, "What are you going to do?" And he said, "I'll probably just croak in a week." He died 4 weeks later.
Yep.
That's yeah. the ultimate
died once
guy.
He left.
He literally died 4 weeks later uh-huh. after coaching his last game. He outlived his own diagnosis by 3 weeks.
Yeah, I remember reading about that in Bruce Arians' book that he wrote, because Bruce Arians used to be yeah. one of the assistants for Bear Bryant. He said, like Coach said, he would always say, like, "I'm probably going to die once I stop coaching." And I think there's an element of football guys where it's like, yeah, that's how I want to go.
Yeah.
It's like, leave it all out on the field.
But back to the point of, like, has Alabama kind of ruined college football? I really don't think, unless you are an SEC West fan, I would get it, because, like, that's got to be frustrating. But college football, for everyone except maybe 6 teams, it's not really ever about national titles. And once you realize that, you enjoy it for what it is. It's about the stadiums. It's about the tailgating. It's about traditions. It's about rivalries. Like, that's what it's about. It's about winning Mayo Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
So it's okay. Like, I get it if you're a Clemson fan or you're LSU or USC and you're like, fuck, how are we going to beat Bama? But for everyone else, 90% of college football, I don't have any less fun watching Alabama win the title every year for my college football enjoyment.
I didn't like the second half. I really enjoyed the first half.
Yeah.
When Devontae was going off. And then
that was video game shit.
That was the most dominant half of football since Blake Bortles in 2018.
Yes.
Like, this was elite shit. Like, it was unfair.
215 for 3 TDs.
Remember, I think Greg Kittle did that a couple years ago, pretty much, and then they just didn't throw the ball to him at all in the second half, but that wasn't due to an injury. That was just due to being fair. It's like, he's too good, so we'll just have him block the second
right.
half. Or Kittle was probably like, I'm sick of catching balls. Let me hit somebody. But it was insane, the shit they were doing in the first half. And then in the second half, you run out of ways to start talking about the game. So, like, Kirk Herbstreit and Chris Fowler just kind of resorted to the fact, like, it's just great to see excellence. And
yeah.
at that point, I was like, you know what? The guy's right. It's great to see excellence.
Yeah, and they had their center come in for the last snap, which was awesome, who tore his ACL in the SEC championship uh-huh. game, number 69. Jalen Waddle was out there. A lot of hand-wringing on Twitter. Jalen Waddle, why are you out there? Like, well, maybe he wants to be out there.
Oh, he definitely wanted to be out there, but, like,
he was limping.
It was painful watching him run.
And then the clip that will live on in this national title is poor Tough Borland, the linebacker for Ohio State, who I likened it to a person trying to drive their car with a boot on it. That's how he looked when he was running, trying to guard Devontae Smith in space. Someone actually said on Twitter, which is perfectly put, he actually tried to change his running style halfway through to see if something else would work, and it worked even less.
Well, what he did, it was like watching that clip in Forrest Gump when Forrest is playing at the University of Alabama and trying to run. Now, in the movie, they obviously made him look really fast, but it was the same exact running style, and Tuff was thinking to himself, well, I'm not able to catch up to this guy, so maybe if I just stomp the ground harder
yes,
with my feet,
yes.
I'll get faster. And
that
he
was
tried.
So bad.
It was. I thought it was going to be a DK Metcalf 2.0 where he was able to chase him down, but it was. You should never have a guy named Tuff guarding a wide receiver.
And it was.
Ever,
it
ever.
Was just a baffling. I guess you don't really know what to do, because Devontae Smith, he actually looked like he was floating, because he's that good and that fast, and like then we don't even have to talk about Najee Harris, who's incredible as well. They have so many weapons. Do you think – so the debate now is, which is crazy to say, last year's LSU team was dubbed the greatest college football team of all time, and now people are saying, well, maybe it's this year's Alabama team. I'm just enjoying the fact that we had back-to-back years where you can actually make that claim.
Yeah.
Because I think the last year's LSU team was incredible, and then Alabama probably gets the slight trump. I do think I would
pick – I'm going to go 2017 UCF.
I would pick last year's LSU team, but I understand the argument that Alabama played an SEC-only schedule and
yeah.
went undefeated.
Yeah, I mean, they were both really great teams. And
yeah.
and the Alabama – it was a – remember Alabama-LSU when they played, what, the 9-6 game?
Yeah.
A while back? Like,
yeah.
Both teams completely changed who they are 100%.
They played 9-6 and then 21-0
the only
in
way
that same year.
That this can change, because you can sit there and you can yell at clouds and you can fight against the wind, but it's not going back to the way that it was. It's never going – the only way that it goes back is if they say – The defense is allowed to use 12 guys on third downs.
Right.
That's it, which might happen one day. Who knows if this shit keeps up. But we're just going to
want points.
We're going to get a lot of points.
I want points.
I took the over last night.
It was great.
It was. In what world can you sit there and bet over 74.5 points and then at halftime be like, this is awesome. I'm good.
This is awesome. And it will be the worst news for anyone who is against Alabama is, so Nick Saban is, like I said, going to be 70. Who knows? Let's say he coaches for 7 more years. There is a world where Dabo Sweeney goes home and takes over for Nick Saban afterwards. That's not the craziest thought out there. He played at Alabama. He's from Alabama. Like, I would say it's probably a low chance right now, but who the fuck knows? And could you imagine if they go Saban to Sweeney?
You know what I would do if I were Nick Saban? I would say, I will make you my head coach in waiting, but you have to come here and be my offensive coordinator for 5 years.
Yes.
And then after that, I'm retiring, the program's yours.
Yeah.
That'd be, I think Sweeney would think about it.
No, because he's the king in Clemson. I actually don't think he'll do it, but it's one of those weird things where right now you sit, like, if I had to go gun to head, I'd say he's not going to go to Alabama in 10 years, but you never know what 10 years looks like. And, you know, if he just gets pulled back there and is like, hey, I want to just go dominate Alabama.
We got to see something last night after the game that I never thought I would see. Nick Saban cried.
Mm-hmm.
Nick Saban was crying. I don't know if he was upset because he was hungry, needed another oatmeal cream pie, if he just was mad because he wishes that he was practicing instead of playing in a game. I don't know why he was – he was really emotional after the game. And I didn't think that it could happen. I didn't think that he had tears.
Yeah.
I knew – we always said, like, after Nick Saban wins the national championship – He jacks off one time,
mm-hmm.
and that's his moment of pleasure. He's got a little mayonnaise packet filled with KY jelly in his pocket. Pops that sucker open. He keeps it in there all year long as a reminder of his great goal. But then after the game, when his eyes start to lactate, it was like he didn't even know what to do with himself.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, I'm very emotional. I'm overcome.
Yeah. It was so Alabama dominated. It does feel good that, like, they're the clear winner, and it was a weird year, and there was all this, you know, without playing out of conference, could we get a real – yes, this was a real winner, so there's some finality to it.
I think Georgia could have beaten them.
Yeah, maybe Texas A&M Georgia needs A&M. Another shot.
I would like to see –
Notre Dame actually, all things considered, held them to, I think, their lowest total all year.
They should definitely let Notre Dame play against Ohio State and just have Ohio State wax the shit out of them.
All right, let's
But Big Cat, wait.
What?
We're all saying, like, the college season's over. How many people out there have forgotten we get FCS football in, like, mm-hmm. a month?
Yeah, it's true.
We get an entire season of spring football. We got Deion Sanders. We got Trey Lance is not playing.
Nope.
So JMU has a shot this year at mm-hmm. winning the Natty. We got a second football
it's
season.
It's true. It's coming soon in February. I'm excited for it. Deion is going to – we got to go down to a game. That would be awesome.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Okay, our big announcement. February 5th, West Virginia, Billy Football is fighting Jose Canseco. It is official.
Let's go, Billy.
It is official. The contract has been signed.
It is official.
It is official. So the backstory is I said I would fight Jose like 2 years ago. I don't even remember why. Then for some reason in the middle of December, Jose just popped up on Twitter and was like, Big Cat's ducking me. 2 years later, I was like, what? Okay. I'm 2 years older. I'm a father. I'm fatter. I don't want to fight you. But I do have Billy Football, who's my champion. If you watch Game of Thrones, you are my champion. Did that end well for the champion?
Always. Yeah.
Oh, no. He got his eyes.
Not against the Viper.
Yeah. Okay. So forget about that, Billy. Don't watch that. No negative energy.
Billy. You're going to fuck Jose Canseco up?
Yeah, no. Yeah. That guy became the Mandalorian, so.
Okay, good.
There you go.
Exactly. It did work out.
Billy, bounty hunter.
You're going to fight an old bloated worm. He's always shriveled up like a fucking, like a raisin that's been left out in the sun too long. This guy, Jose can suck it. That's what I call him.
No, dude, there's a very good chance he dies in the ring.
Ooh!
No, like,
IRNR.com.
Theo Vaughn, do you want to kill him? Would you kill him in the ring?
That was great.
I would commit manslaughter. I wouldn't commit murder.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Yeah. So you wouldn't just know. For the record, yeah. I have no intent to kill him.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's whatever happens in the ring happens in the ring.
But I'm excited.
Dude,
you know,
you're
going
to kick his ass.
Dude, I'm so pumped.
You've been training.
I've been low-key been training, like, for a long
time. Not really. You've been telling
us
nonstop.
The only thing that you tweet about is your training. Well, you've got a bag full of meat. You're going to get some gains on there. You're going to weigh in. He's going to have to respect your mass.
I'm lean and mean right now. I'm excited.
You are fighting for my honor.
And A-Rod's.
If you lose,
it's trickle down.
I have no honor left.
I know.
Right.
So I'm hyped.
So I'm honorless.
No, I'm so excited. Okay. I cannot wait to get in there.
BuyRNR.com.
Can we bet on this?
I don't know. February 5th. Yeah. Is it Play Barstool? Play Barstool.
There you go.
Just fucking say it, Hank. Play Barstool. February 5th.
2521.
Now, Billy, quick Q&A before we get going with the fight prep. There's rumors on the street that you are going to make yourself a weapon.
I'm
going to
make myself a lethal weapon.
Okay, so that's confirmed.
Without the intent to kill.
That is.
How are you going to travel?
That's a rumor that's confirmed.
Say again?
How are you going to travel?
Mm. Oh, shit.
Hasn't thought about that.
Travel as a weapon.
Yeah.
Mm. Can't cross state lines.
Literally can't travel.
Wait.
But wait, no.
If you're
but,
a weapon,
no,
you can't travel.
Billy, just wait till you get down there to
weapon
off. If you're like, if you're like Megatron turned into a gun. So you can, if you just turn yourself into a transformer, you can unweaponize yourself, and then once you get to the location,
so
boom, you're a gun again.
I'm fuck so the hyped. Feds. I'm a lethal weapon everywhere.
Yeah.
There you go.
I don't care about it. It's going to be like, I'm so excited.
I have a question, Billy. Like, once it got announced and it's official, were you a little bit like, oh, shit, this is actually happening, or were you just excited?
I was.
Because I was like, oh,
this is my honor.
This is really going to happen.
So basically, you know, when we first discussed it, when the tweet first surfaced and I was like doing my laundry, it was a
nice
Saturday.
Details there. Yep.
It was think about it. It's a Saturday. I'm just like trying to get all my stuff done on my day off. You know,
all
like
that work that you do on the weekends.
You work like it's just Saturday.
Saturday is the day when Billy does all of his work.
No, it's Sunday.
The week.
Sunday coming to the
day off.
By the way, remember, I have a whole other like school that I do. I'm currently training for the
you were working real hard.
I'd like to see how many Call of Duty hours do you log a week?
Well, it's the only thing I can do in my free time.
Right.
Anyway, because I can't leave.
Right.
Anyway, so I'm just like doing all my chores.
We didn't kidnap you.
Right.
Well, you can leave.
I know. But like, it's Saturday's a good day to get a lot of stuff done.
Right. Your day off.
Anyway, so no. So then I'm like suddenly my phone starts blowing up, and of course like my mind goes like to a worst case scenario, like oh my god, like something really bad is happening.
Billy got canceled.
Yeah. Like. Something terrible, or like, you know, so
what would be terrible in that case?
I don't know, like
the vegan rumors got picked up by the
rumors,
news.
Yeah, like, yo, someone saw me buying vegan stuff. Anyway, then it's like, like 100K Jose Canseco, and I'm like, let's fucking go. Like,
yes,
and I'm like, so basically, the first thing I did was just, you know, shadow box for 3 straight minutes to see if I had the conditioning.
On your day off.
Right, it was my day off.
Holy shit.
Billy, we're going to have to get you training with your chickens. Chase your chickens around, try to catch them.
What do you think
I've
been doing?
Yeah. It worked for Rocky.
Yeah, I'm
so
hyped.
Excited. You are a weapon, dude. You're in the prime of your career.
I'm lean and mean.
Mm-hmm.
Belly football.
And Jose's a big fucking fraud.
Yeah.
And not only is he a fraud, but he's like trying to stir the pot a little bit, trying to tweet at people, trying to be clever.
Yeah,
that's not even Jose that's tweeting, by the way. That's his little cuck wannabe stepson, Evan.
These are PFT's comments.
No.
My honor's already on the line.
No, they're enough. They're my comments, and I will own them. He's got a little thirsty little cuck boy, Evan, that likes to tweet at people and DM people being like, yo, Jose actually really thinks that he can come on your podcast if you pay him $20,000. Billy, you're going to take down their entire camp.
He's got a little
camp.
Reek.
A little reek. Uh-huh. You're going to send them back to... Where does he live now? Does Jose even have a permanent
Las
address?
Vegas.
Are you worried at all that it might be Ozzy that shows up?
Yeah, but I'll beat them both.
Okay,
I mean,
nice.
Ozzy was the one who did less steroids, and that's why he's not...
I think Ozzy did more steroids.
I don't really care. It's all dead weight now. I looked at a picture. I'm hyped.
You
got to
focus on yourself because you are positive energy... Weaponize Billy Football. Everyone gas him up.
We're going to do it. once I, you know, if I beat up Jose Canseco and he loses this fight, I don't see how he can even show his face in public again. So yeah, I'm literally never wiping him off the face of the earth.
Right. Uh-huh.
We're never going to hear from him again.
I'm so excited.
And then it's...
And if you, if you're thinking to yourself, hey, like, I don't really like Billy Football, like, he's annoying, whatever.
Like, you might see me get knocked out, too.
Well, no. You're fighting for my honor. So right. For me, right. My dignity.
So I'm hyped.
Yeah.
I think if you can't get behind Billy Football in a fist fight against Jose Canseco,
no,
I don't think you were an award-winning listener to begin with.
Fact. We got to bring the troops together.
Verbal meme.
Wait. Save this for Parler.
Verbal meme. Me with a bunch of knives going to my back, protecting them from Big Cat, who's also protecting A-Rod.
Yeah, Hank, we got to get you set up with a Parler. Hank Linwood. What do you think about that?
Anyway,
no comment from Hank.
That's a no comment. Billy,
he has no platform to speak.
Billy, you got to deplatform Jose.
Yeah, I'm a deplatform Jose.
You are. You got to deplatform. Yeah, deplatform.
Deplatform. Take him out, Billy. Yes.
And then it's on to Jake Paul.
There yes. And so then it's on.
Utilize your Second Amendment bare arms.
Boom. And Billy, this is what we've been telling you. Like, once you get some tape out there, now you're a fighter.
Dude,
now you're Jake Paul.
First Domino Jose, then it's Jake Paul, and then I'll probably retire.
Connor.
I got to kick some.
Connor.
No, I'm not. I respect MMA.
Dustin Diamond. James.
I'm just here to, like,
we're just
going to take out
fight everybody.
Yeah.
I'm like the IRS.
Jake, then Logan. Take down the Paul brothers.
Yeah, take down the whole Paul operation.
Exactly. I'll say, I could take Logan. Logan's actually probably more
Paul
of my weight
George.
Class.
Because Jake's bigger.
Yeah.
Jake's pretty tall.
No, Logan's taller.
No, Jake's like 6'3".
I'd fuck up late. Anyway.
Focus on Jose.
February 5th, I'm going to kill Jose Canseco. I'm pumped.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Hot seat, cool throne, Hank.
My hot seat, I have a few. The first one is Kyrie Irving and the NBA in general. I don't think we talked about this on the show because it happened Thursday night, but he did not play against the 76ers. He didn't tell anyone why he wasn't playing.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Nash was like, I have no idea why he's not playing. I haven't heard from him. So that's a tough look, you know, just in general.
Yeah, he's getting very well acquainted with Kyrie Irving very quickly.
And then now he's being investigated because there's pictures and videos surfacing of him partying while he's away from the team.
So for his father's birthday.
Ancestor's birthday.
Ancestor's birthday.
Yeah. So I'm team Kyrie.
Does that matter?
Ever since,
a little different than like just a random stripper party, right?
Well, James Harden was supporting his girlfriend, who's a boss
true.
Now.
That's
yeah.
True.
Difference
and
with that.
Dwayne Haskins had a strip party at his house.
That's true.
So he didn't go out for it.
Yep.
But Kyrie, I like Kyrie now. Ever since I saw the video of him cleansing the arena with Sage walking around, like, how can you not root for that? How can you not possibly be on the side of an
That's
NBA
problematic,
player?
Dude.
That why?
I forget what. There was a reason it was
sounds
problematic.
No, there was a reason it was problematic.
Because it's a Native American ritual, but Kyrie is part Native American.
Right. So that was problematic for you.
For what?
For just whatever. I don't know.
Is he?
Was.
Is he part?
Yeah, he is.
Like Kyrie Warren status?
Kyrie Warren, yeah. Yeah, no, they're related.
They're first cousins.
Very closely. But yeah, I like Kyrie Irving. I like it when he does weird shit like this.
What's weird about just not showing up, like it's the same thing as Dwayne Haskins.
So
I would never like it on my team, but I like having Kyrie in the mix.
That's
the
important
news.
Part. As someone who doesn't root for the Nets, it's a cool, interesting story, and it's like, hey, let Kyrie just do whatever he wants. Like, he's made a ton of money. He can come and go as he wants. If you're a Nets fan, this probably sucks, and it's probably very frustrating.
Mm-hmm. And the NBA is imposing a new rule, so I guess they're having like a bunch of outbreaks. You're not allowed to do handshakes before the game.
Mm.
Hockey would never. You have to do a fist bump and then like return to your side of the court. And then after you come out of the game, you have to put a mask on unless you get like a one-minute cool-down period in a cold seat or the cool throne, as it should be known.
Nice.
Where you get to sit by yourself in a chair that's 12 feet away from your teammates like LeBron James in 2019.
But wait, they're still playing.
They're still playing on the court.
Yeah.
And still
they're trying to put in
other.
they're kind of like they just need to kind of suck it up and accept that there's going to be like they're trying to put in protocols that just are not going to work. Like they're trying to say that you're not allowed to go anywhere except for your house after games. It's like how are you going to enforce
just
that?
Just bubble it again.
Right. That's, I mean, that's, it seems like that's the only logical solution, but they're not going
to
get there.
They're not going to go to a bubble game.
No, and I don't know, really. But yeah, they're going to have to, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see over the next couple weeks.
Tap hands during free throws.
Can't tap hands during
free
throws.
Oh, that's
like
huge.
When you go up, like, hey, keep your head up.
What is Duke, those are your teammates.
What is Duke going to do whenever the ref blows a whistle for literally anything? Are they going to be able to huddle up as boys?
No. No.
Sad.
My other hot seat, Chase Claypool. They had a bad loss to the Browns. He said on Instagram Live, he said it's a bad loss to the Browns. Or no, it's a bad loss, but the Browns are going to get clapped against the Chiefs. So that has...
Wait, he said it again? Because he said it last week.
That
after
was Juju.
Oh, Juju also.
Juju said the Browns is the Browns.
Browns
is
the Browns. Still talking shit?
Still, I hope
Juju
they never
said that
stop.
Before the game.
Game, right. Yeah. Right.
Chase Claypool, after the game, after they lost, said it's a bad loss, but the Browns are going to get clapped, so who cares?
Oh, my God. Do they... What?
And then Sammy Watkins said that they're not going to have a problem with the Browns.
I like that.
Sammy Watkins is getting on the shit talk, too.
I mean, the Steelers, you just lost.
Right.
Just shut up.
Right.
Crazy.
Then my cool throne is Stephon Thomas.
Oh, that was mine.
So this is the guy. He has a shit ton of Bitcoin, a digital wallet that holds 7,000 Bitcoin, but he forgot the password of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what does he have, like three more
times? So he's done two more guesses. Two more guesses. You have 10 guesses on your passwords. He's used 8 of them. And he has $220 million in Bitcoin just sitting there. And he was like, I just sit up at night trying to think about my passwords. And I don't have it.
So you would think that would be put him on the hot seat, but I put him on the cool throne because this is basically the greatest game show ever invented.
Uh-huh. You get two guesses.
I don't know how
password.
You figure it out.
So where does it go if he doesn't get it right? It just goes to the internet?
Self-destructs.
Yeah.
Al Gore gets it?
Yeah. You know what he should do? Remember the night that I forgot my password? He's got to get up and take a walk. I forgot my password on my computer, got up, took a walk, came back, boom, had it.
But you didn't have stakes.
I mean... Everyone's thought I was losing my mind and that I had COVID, so there were some stakes.
If I were him, I would try every drug.
But either way,
you gotta like take acid or mushrooms.
Not a drug guy.
try to unlock that portion of your mind.
Yes.
Because whatever you're doing, you tried it sober, it didn't work that way.
Kill your ego.
Yeah, there you go.
Ego death.
Mm-hmm. And then go back in time and watch yourself enter the password.
Yep.
I just hope that one of these networks can figure out a way to turn this into a game show because it's an electric concept.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It also sounds like a great rom-com.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, it either it sounds like a game show idea or like a script.
The girl that he meets ends up like somehow knowing the password.
Yeah.
Now would he be allowed to
National
sell
treasure.
Could he hedge out of this? Is there anyone that could like buy his last two guesses from him for $100,000?
You would never how would you get you just guess?
He's got to have a ballpark.
Yeah, you'd either have to guess. Or maybe like someday in the future, you could like that's internet real estate. Those bitcoins, I have no idea how Bitcoin works. But if you deposited Bitcoin into a wallet at some point, you should, in theory, be able to get your $220 million back.
I know how Bitcoin works. Every time I buy Bitcoin, it goes down. That's happened twice now. So I did buy some last week. I always buy it at the peak.
I'm heavily
it's very smart investing.
Heavily leveraged in Dogecoin.
Well, Bitcoin. The craziest thing about Bitcoin is you just hold it.
Buy and hold. I listen to a podcast.
Right, but
didn't understand any of it.
Like the whole point of being rich is to spend money and do cool shit. Bitcoin.
Yeah, but Bitcoin in the next 10 years, it's going to be the only currency that exists.
There's going to be at least a few people who die, and they're like, they're going to be on their deathbed, and they're going to be worth $100 million, and they didn't spend any of it. But they're like, but I was right. Bitcoin.
Is it possible to just get money for Bitcoin now? Like,
it's really hard to liquefy.
If I've got like 6 Bitcoins,
it's hard to liquefy.
Can I get money for it?
You can, but it's hard.
You could liquefy a small amount.
Yeah. I want to turn if I had $1 million worth of Bitcoin and I wanted to go to the store and buy a Cherry Coke Zero.
No.
I couldn't do that?
No.
That kicks ass. Well, pretty cool.
You transferred some of it to like a Cash App account. And then you could liquefy it easier there.
Buddha Ben is actually accepting Bitcoin for a sweatshirt, so you can just buy a shitload of sweatshirts.
I like that.
Bitcoin's kind of like if we created Gritcoin and then told everyone else, all of our listeners to make a wallet, and then, you know, it only has value to
sweatshop.
All of us. Right. But then we made all our merch, the only way you could buy it is with Bitcoin.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then it would raise in value because of all of us,
right.
Our own,
so my,
how much we think
my
it's
Gritcoins
valuable.
Are just Photoshops of coins with Danny Woodhead and Mike Allstott on them, but they're only available if I tweet them at somebody. That's how they're authenticated. So there's a centralized authentication process the blockchain is different.
You need a little more crypto.
Yeah.
Zoology.
Okay, yeah. Billy knows.
Crypto. Okay.
Cryptozoology.
The blockchain just fascinates. You can put blockchain in front of anything, and it goes up in value. You remember that? Like 2 years ago, there was an iced tea company that decided to call themselves like blockchain tea, and their stock went up 5,000%. That's business.
Realistically, we should do blockchain voting. That would make a lot of sense.
Okay. Just let's say that for another podcast.
Just point that out there.
All right. That seems like a deep
PFT,
dive.
PFT, what do you got?
My hot seat is Tampa Bay. My hot seat is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers because Tom Brady tweeted out a Photoshop yesterday after somebody said to him online that every future Tom Brady game should be played on the History Channel. And Tom Brady's Photoshop that he put out was him and Drew Brees, both looking very old, but both looking very old in very, very different ways. Tom Brady looks like he's Kenny Rogers' bodyguard, or like Kenny Rogers on P90X while he's still alive. And then Drew Brees looks like a guidance counselor, and he's like very bald. He's got a fucked up... Tom Brady in this Photoshop gave Drew Brees neck cancer. He's got like skin cancer on his neck. He just looks old, out of shape, and it's going to be bulletin board material for the Saints. I'm calling it right now. Drew Brees quote tweeted and said, "This is good!" Exclamation point. Which is the most passive aggressive thing ever.
Well, it's accurate.
But, yeah.
For Drew Brees. What why is Tampa Bay on the hot seat?
Because it's bulletin board material for the New Orleans Saints.
Got it.
I think that Tom Brady definitely went out of his way to make himself look good and make Drew Brees look really, 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 really bad in this. I don't like it. I don't like it for Tom Brady. I think Tom Brady's gotten too online in the last couple years.
Okay. I'm excited for that game. Very excited. Old heads.
My cool throne was going to be the Bitcoin guy too. So instead I'll just do my cool throne is Nate Sudfeld because the, Philadelphia Eagles sided with Nate Sudfeld over Doug Peterson.
Yeah. So my cool throne was going to be, Doug Peterson because he's actually free of Philadelphia, which seemed like he hated coaching there.
Yeah.
At this point.
Well, he said he got sick of being told what to do all the time, which is a pretty big part of being an employee.
And, the hot seat is like Carson Wentz is now because I assume that they will keep Carson Wentz.
That's pretty much the main point of it was like
get
he
rid
got
of the, right.
he got fired for he risked it all for Nate Sudfeld essentially
right.
And they're like we need to keep Carson Wentz as our starting quarterback. Let's give him another shot. Although Carson Wentz he was starting to become like it's my new favorite game to play mentally in the NFL is like just close your eyes and imagine this quarterback with Kyle Shanahan. It's like, oh man, okay, Carson Wentz, Cam Newton could be good, Justin Fields.
Talk about pressure.
Swag Kelly with Kyle Shanahan.
Talk about pressure that like your coach gets fired and now you're probably going to start again. Also, the statue deserves to be up because it was the first Super Bowl in Philadelphia history, but the fact that we're 3 years removed.
Mm-hmm.
And Doug Peterson and Nick Foles are no longer there. That's wild.
Yeah. I mean, listen, they took down Joe Pa's statue. They might take these guys down, too.
For different reasons.
Different reasons.
Yep. Billy, you got hot seat cool throne?
Yes, hot seat Jack Easterby. All these Easterby. How do you pronounce his last name? Easterby.
Just say whatever.
Anyway,
we'll pretend that's right.
Andre Johnson and DeAndre Hopkins are all, bagging on the Houston Texans for saying that Deshaun Watson should just stand his ground and get traded. Everyone's just piling on saying that the Houston Texans are a terrible organization. So
can you imagine Deshaun Watson with Kyle Shanahan?
Yeah.
Deshaun Watson did just tweet like when Dre speaks that was DeAndre Hopkins about Andre Johnson.
Yeah, when Dre
so basically
speaks,
everyone
hates
like
the Texans organization.
I don't know. Does Deshaun Watson have it in him? Like, he has to sit. He has to sit if he wants to actually get traded. There has to be a real threat that he would not play for this to work.
I honestly think that if he sat, Texans fans would be like, we understand.
I don't think he has it in him, though. I really don't. And I just think he wants to play football. And it would be interesting to see.
You know what he should do? Like a reparative knee surgery like Edelman did before the surgery.
That'd
be a great way to opt out.
What I really want is for the Dolphins to trade 3 and Tua for the Texans because it'd be the biggest cuck trade of all time because it's their own
Get your pick back.
Yeah.
We've been holding it hostage. Essentially, it was like ransom on your draft pick.
Yes.
What if it was like, we'll trade you this pick back, but we have to hire Bill O'Brien?
Ooh. Okay.
Nick Saban might do that.
Yeah.
He's the latest name that's floated out there. But I think Deshaun Watson, his whole thing is like he wasn't part of the process for hiring a general manager or a head coach when they told him that he would be. And it was very funny watching the press conference that they gave when they were explaining like how the process unfolded, because they just referred to Deshaun Watson by his number. They just kept calling him four. No, four was a very intimate part of this process when we were bringing in Nick Cassero. They gave everybody a name, and then they were like, they just always referred to their star quarterback as number four.
That's why it kind of feels like it's not totally the same, but Aaron Rodgers, remember how mad, allegedly he was mad that Matt LaFleur was hired without his say, and eventually he's like, yeah, well, I'm going to keep playing. I feel like Deshaun Watson is just going to keep playing.
Yeah. I don't know. He seems mad, Deshaun.
Real mad.
If you want to come to a functional franchise,
he's in his feels.
Washington football team, we he's know how to run feels. An organization, buddy.
Cool, Tron?
We'll have you.
That's okay. Yeah. Jay, did you have any hot seats?
Hot seat cannons, because the PLL just came out with a new team, the Cannons Lacrosse Club, so the Water Dogs are no longer the new kids on the block.
Cannons?
Cannons LC, yeah.
Boston Tits?
No, it's Cannons.
They're like the Cantons.
They were the most popular MLL team. They just did a merger. Boston Cannons.
We merged?
Yeah, merged with another league. I think that this is actually probably like a huge moment in the lacrosse history. This is like when the AFL and NFL merged. Yeah. No, but it, like we have
the Cannons are wild.
It's the same exact thing as the NFL and the AFL.
Merging.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so now we're just going to have to refer to all the championships pre-merger as not really counting. So
exactly.
The Water Dogs not winning
never lost doesn't mean anything. Yeah.
It's just cool.
Yeah, it is.
And then cool throwing the Masters, allowing limited fans in April.
Hell yeah.
Okay. Back to normalcy.
As usual, like limited fans still.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Are they doing pimento cheese? That's the only thing I care about.
Oh, yeah.
The azaleas are going to be back. Hell yeah.
All right. Let's get to Stone Cold Steve Austin. Before we do that, what do you got up, PFT?
One of our favorite advertisers is back, Roman Swipes. You guys know Roman Swipes. Most guys have tried different ways to last longer in bed, but thinking about baseball doesn't always work. I know when I think about Bud Selig, it's just a volcano. It's just slime time down there. It looks like the game is being played on Nickelodeon. The folks at Roman, an online men's health company, are changing the game with Roman Swipes, the secret to longer-lasting sex. Roman Swipes are a clinically proven way to last longer in bed. They're effective. They're easy to use. They're fast-acting. They don't require a prescription. Roman can ship swipes to you in discreet, unmarked packaging, and each swipes packet is small enough to hide in your wallet for whenever you need it. They're super easy to use. You just take the swipes out of the packet, swipe it on, let it dry, and you're good to go. That's it. Go to GetRoman.com/take. You can get your first month of swipes for just $5 when you choose a monthly plan. That's GetRoman.com/take. Now here he is, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Okay, we now welcome on a very, very special guest. It's actually, I'm going to say it, you're a good friend. Can we say that you're a good friend? It's Stone Cold Steve Austin. We're friends, right?
Absolutely.
Hell yes. Okay.
Hell yeah.
I love that, because I did try to give you the shirt off my back. I wish you were still in studio right now, but we have to do it over Zoom. So Stone Cold's here. He's got his second season of his talk show coming out January 11th. Straight up Steve Austin. Let's talk about that real quick. So I was looking at the guest list. You got Steve-O and you got Brett Favre as part of a great guest list. Now, for people who didn't watch, it's the first season. It's essentially a cooler, more badass version of Jerry Seinfeld's Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee. You're hanging out with these people all day. Tell us real quick, like, Brett Favre, is he going to come back? Did you get any sense that he can play football still?
Oh, I get a sense he can still throw the football. He threw me one, but I don't know if he's coming back. You'd have to ask him, Matt. But, yeah, it was great to go out there in Mississippi and hang with him.
Mm-hmm. What did you guys do out there? Did you go hunting? I know he likes to spend a lot of time out in the woods.
We did something that could be construed as hunting-related, because I guess he hunts just like myself I do. So we have a lot of things in common, actually, him growing up in the South and being from a small town. So it was really cool, because I was wondering how that guy would be. I've watched his whole career, and then to go down there and hang out, you know, where he comes from, and to figure out, man, he's a laid-back guy, and what you see on TV is Brett Favre. Mm-hmm. Not the football player, just the guy. He's a very humble dude.
I'm trying to think what that means when you say we did something that could be construed as hunting. That could mean a whole lot of shit there, Steve.
It could be, but you in the vein of and you know, using something.
Okay.
Did you try
I guess that's a great tease.
You try to kill a squirrel with a football?
You can.
Did you you stun a moose?
You can. I did. Last I checked, there wasn't no moose down there in Mississippi.
Uh-huh. Is that like a something that people ask you even when you're hosting a talk show and you're interviewing them? Has anybody ever been like, sir, will you please stun me?
No, that has never happened. Like I've told that story a long time ago. I stunned a guy down there, and we was Germany somewhere, and I gave someone a stunner on a concrete floor. God dang it, hurt my ass something severe. Best place to give a stunner, the only place to give a stunner is a damn ring.
Yeah, or pool. Pool stunners are always fun.
Yeah, but you're not going to get the full impact. The water's going to slow you down. Sure, you're not going to hit the cement, but you're not going to deliver the full impact of this region catching right underneath that jaw.
When was the last time you gave, like, a true stunner? When was the last time? And do you think you're maybe a little out of practice? Because it sounds like, do you lose that? Is that something you lose? Or are you just, it's like riding a bike. You can stun, you know, you can roll out of bed and start stunning people.
Dude, I could roll out of bed and start stunning people. That's one of the things that you don't forget. You can go out there and you can lose your timing and have a little bit of ring rust, or, you know, your punches might be off. But the stunner, I mean, I did that so many times. It's just like you said, like, you know, once you learn how to ride a bicycle, you don't forget.
Mm. Do you have like a mental list that you keep when you see people like either on the news or just like on television that you keep and you're like, it's on site with that guy. I want to stun that person. I want to stun that person.
No, because, I mean, you know, that was Stone Cold wrestling related, you know, and I don't sit there and look at people that I could give a stunner to because, you know, if it's basically, I guess you could shoot with it. I've never shot with it, but, you know, it's a worked move.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you had Steve-O on the show.
There have been some people on TV that I'd like to punch in the mouth.
Yes.
So, yeah, like you throw the stunner out. And, you know, if someone's making me mad, I'd just rather punch him in the jaw.
Yes, yes. So when you had Steve-O on, did you guys compare injuries? Because I would say you two might be the most injured people on Earth combined.
We did run through an injury list. I mean, that guy's been through the ringer just like I have. Hell, him probably even more so than I. Hell, he broke a bunch of teeth and stuff like that, so... You know, it's funny watching that guy, you know, from back in the Jackass days, and they're making another movie. But back in the day, you know, that show was a thing, and it was kind of right along the timeline of when we were really hot.
Yes.
So all these years later, to sit there and talk to that guy after watching him do all of the carnage, he's a highly intelligent human being and very well spoken. And you'd have never thought it watching him back then. But what a cool guy he is, and what a smart guy and a smart self-marketer he is.
Yeah, I agree. We like being, you know, in our mid-30s, I would say we're the last generation that has our feet on the ground and a sense of normalcy because we weren't raised by the internet. We were raised by Jackass and the Attitude Era. So, like, come on. We don't – no Facebook. We're just stunning people.
We're just normal
folk. Throwing ourselves off buildings and stuff.
Just, yeah, pushing my friend in a shopping cart into, like, a cactus.
That's how we were raised. Yeah.
Just good shit all around. Just hijinks.
Yeah.
What have you learned doing this talk show? Because this is something that's been, like, a different career path for you, trying something new. And by all accounts that I've seen, it's been a real success. Like, people are like, damn, Stone Cold is actually really good at not fighting people, but interviewing them also. Like, was there a transition process, or was there a moment when you're like, okay, this is easier than I thought it'd be?
No, it's not easier than I thought it would be because it was all a work in progress. But I guess, you know, like I was talking with Booker T the other day, and, you know, working in the business of pro wrestling, you know, you can learn how to work in a ring, you can learn how to cut promos, you learn how to deal with people, and then getting into the podcast business, you know, I did that for, you know, damn near 6 years. So you're interviewing people and you're having these conversations with them. So now all of a sudden you get someone out there, a guest, and you put a couple of activities in front of them. So you're doing stuff that you can bond over, kind of helps facilitate the conversation. But when you first start doing it, it's kind of like trying to, you know, walk and chew bubble gum and juggle at the same time. So there's a lot of different things going on the show. So it's a work in progress, but after getting a season one in us and we did really good in the ratings, and now season two, I really know what the show is all about. It's about my guest and a little bit of me having fun and sharing their stories. It's gotten easier with repetition, but if we get season three and we don't wait so long to film it because of this COVID thing, it'd be really great to get it'd be really great to be able to get back to work.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes, absolutely. So if for people who are listening to this right now, the first time we had Stone Cold on, he was in studio. It was like about an hour interview. That's when I fanboyed out and asked all my fanboy questions. So now we're just friends. I don't know if I asked you, though, what was the maddest that, like, Vince has ever been with you behind the scenes? What was the like, most contentious moment between Steve Austin and Vince McMahon behind the scenes, and what caused that?
You know, I don't think there ever was that time. Now, I wasn't there in the building when I no-showed in Atlanta.
Yep.
So it wasn't face-to-face, so I'm sure he was mad as a hornet, but I was on an airplane drinking Bloody Marys headed back to San Antonio. So I can bring it up, but I can't speak to it. I'll never forget early on, Stone Cold character started getting hot, so automatically the two biggest things back in the day were Stone Cold and The Undertaker, or should I say The Undertaker and Stone Cold. So they were just going to put us together in a match because we were the two biggest things going at the time. And so, you know, Taker was a babyface. I was had kind of turned babyface, and I figured, hey, if they're going to book this match, I think it was in the Garden. I went out there and cut this scathe and heel promo just to try to elicit and get some heat. And I went back to the dressing room after the interview, and Vince calls me aside. And it was almost like a learning lesson or putting me under the learning tree. He goes, God dang it, Steve. He goes, what were you doing? You know, because I'm figuring you got to have it. And this is back in, you know, mid, late 90s. I'm thinking you got to have a good guy and you got to have a bad guy. And if he's kind of a good guy, I'm going to be the bad guy. So that was a learning lesson and not even a stern talking to, but that would have been one of those moments.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that's a fascinating speech just because Vince McMahon, you know, through the years, I think his eye for the story and the talent is what has made it all work. And like knowing it's the famous line, like, I know what you want more than you know what you want. And that's really true, right? Like that. And I would assume that you got to that point, too, where you knew what the fans wanted before they knew what they wanted.
Yeah. And there's sometimes, you know, when we would disagree on finishes, whether it was in the States or overseas, of what Vince thought the fans might want as far as the finish went. And I disagreed, and we had a conversation, and maybe something got changed. But I agreed, you know, 99% with most of the direction that Vince always went. But there were times when we disagreed. But he's the smartest guy I've ever worked with, and I always tell everybody I've learned more working with Vince McMahon than I have anywhere in my life, you know, including, you know, damn near five years of college. He's a smart, smart guy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think last time you were on, we talked about a lot of the beer stuff, like the time that you went swimming in the ring, which was, for my money, that's the best moment in wrestling history. Mm-hmm. When you're swimming in like an inch and a half of beer, that was wonderful. When you sprayed Vince McMahon down with the beer hose from the beer truck, another all-time moment. But I know if I'm looking back in my own mind about the best tasting beers I've ever had, I'm not talking about like different types of beer, but you know that beer that hits different. When you think about like a certain moment in your life, is there a beer that sticks out to you as the best tasting beer that you've ever slammed?
Now, the best tasting beer I've ever slammed was probably down there in Tampa a couple of years back at the Raw, whatever it was, 1,000 episodes or Raw reunion, whatever it was. And I drank my own beer, Broken Skull IPA, on television in Florida. That was the best tasting. But as far as kind of that moment that you're talking about when, God dang, this is almost a celebratory beer because I've been through so much was right after, well, two occasions. Once after working with The Rock in Philly in WrestleMania 15, because I was going through a divorce, I'd forgotten my vest, had to walk to the ring in a t-shirt. That sucked ass. So those beers after beating him was like,
yeah,
damn right.
Yeah,
and then another one was in the Buried Alive match against The Undertaker. They actually wanted me to run that backhoe, and I refused to because I thought I would have done damage to him because that was the one thing I couldn't learn to drive on live TV in short fashion. And I'd been going through some kind of stomach virus for about almost four weeks. I'd lost about 15, 17 pounds going into that match. I'm noticeably slimmer than I was. And going through that match, I was sick as a dog still, and making it through the match, tearing up some cartilage off my rib cage during the match, and then guzzling those beers. That was like Yeah, mm-hmm. I got through it, but drinking those beers was the most painful thing that I'd ever done because my gut wasn't ready for beer. Those two moments.
The first thing you have, yeah, it's like you're sick for 2 weeks. Like, first thing you have back is a beer.
Yeah, there we go.
While you're burying Undertaker alive, and that's why you're a legend.
Yeah, you got to put your body through. You got to see if you're ready for a performance yet. Best way to do that is just slamming two beers at once.
Mm-hmm. What's this buzz about you maybe coming back in the ring for maybe another match? I see it. I see the buzz. You want to talk about it?
I don't see a buzz. I don't feel a buzz.
Oh, I feel the buzz.
I don't know because, hell, I just got finished talking about it a while back. RVD or somebody said I was looking for a comeback match. And
yep.
I am not. I can see talk like I do and say I ain't looking for a rematch. I'm not looking for another match. That was a rumor, whether he started it or someone else. But I can tell you right here in camera that, you know, I'll never wrestle another match in my life.
What?
They always say, never say never. Hey, I'll say it. I'm done.
Never's a long time.
$10 million.
Yeah, $10 million.
Hey man, I got done a long time ago, and I got the wrestling bug out of my system. And that was a long process, and I've talked about that extensively on this project I've been working on. But I love the business. I love watching the business. I love watching the current talent or watching legends go back and having one more run at it, but not me.
So $100 million, one match.
Nah, it ain't worth it.
So that's interesting what you just said, that it took you a while to get it out of your system. How long was it from the last time that you were wrestling, like, consistently? How many years did it take for you to fully be like, you know what, I don't really miss it? I know you've done appearances and you've been involved and you've stayed in the limelight somewhat, but like, how long was it before you were like, you know what, I don't need to be back physically in the ring going through a 20-minute match?
You know, it took me a couple years to get over that, and it was a hard pill to swallow because I was a guy that had to pull my own plug based on, you know, the injury that I had at SummerSlam in 97. You know, I had the neck fusion, got back in the ring, made a couple more years, but things just started adding up. And it was kind of like, dude, you need to get out of Dodge. And although I made the decision, the hardest decision I've ever made in my life, and it took me a long while, or a couple of years to come to grips with that decision and deal with it and move on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I was looking up some pictures of old school Stone Cold. What should we call you, Mr. Cold? Steve, Mr. Austin.
I thought we was friends. You guys call me Steve.
Steve. Yeah, all right. Yeah. I love it.
Calling you Steve.
I was looking up.
But if you want to call me Stone Cold just out of default or habit, that's fine too.
Okay. Mr. Steve. I was looking up these pictures of old school Stone Cold, and I found one back when you had hair. This is an awesome picture. Look at that big cat.
Yeah.
So
looks great.
So the blonde hair that was like combed over to the side is you holding the United States heavyweight belt right here.
I can't see it, but that would have to be WCW.
Yeah, yeah, it was your WCW days. At what point did you decide, like, okay, it's time to shave the head? And did you feel a difference in yourself, like in the character Stone Cold, when you went from having hair to having no hair at all?
Well, that little comb-over job, I was trying to kind of reinvent stunning Steve Austin. They didn't think I was marketable, so I tried to do that hairstyle and then ended up going to Japan, tearing my tricep off my arm. But when I got fired right after this, you know, during the rehabilitation of that injury, that's when I decided to let it grow out again. And I was growing it out, and it was about halfway mullet, halfway scruffy. I started that ECW run. And so it was kind of getting along again. That's when I got the call from Vince. And this is about the third time we'd talked. And he presented me with the ringmaster idea. And anytime you go up to New York, WWF back in the day, they want you to kind of change things around. So, you know, it looks like you've been repackaged. Shit. The worst repackaging job in the history of the business. So Pulp Fiction had just come out a while back, and Bruce Willis had that buzz haircut.
Yeah.
So that's where that look come from. That was inspired by Bruce Willis from Pulp Fiction. And so, you know, that look was not a good look. Me with the buzz haircut, no goatee.
Uh-huh.
To say it was not money, I owed money.
Yes.
Okay? And so me and Goldust, Dustin Rhodes, were traveling together back in the day, and we were working Pittsburgh Mellon Arena. And I looked at myself in the mirror. I said, dude, this, you know, it looked like crap. And I just got a razor out, and I started shaving my head. And Dustin said, dude, what are you doing? I said, man, F it. I said, it looks like trash anyway. I'm just taking it off.
Mm-hmm.
So I showed a Miller with bald haircut, and everybody's like, kind of like, you know, because you couldn't really see it unless the camera came in. And it was a different look. And then that's when I started messing with that goatee. Yep. So to really answer your question, when I buzzed that hair off and then I started growing that goatee in, that's when I started feeling like somebody.
Yeah.
That's when I started feeling like Stone Cold and the Ringmaster. I never had any identity or any kind of feel for that. And as a character, to try to make decisions, not knowing who and what that thing was supposed to be. And there I am looking like Hollywood Blondes boots, you know, emerald green trunks. I'd switch them to black. You know, they might have brought me in as Ringmaster, but they didn't have that grand of plans for me.
Uh-huh.
And that's when I decided after 6 months, I got to take, you know, matters into my own hand.
And we talked about this last time, but the bald look always made it, when you bled, you bled. And people, that always showed out. So this is my last question. You're done wrestling. So because you're done wrestling, we can do a hypothetical. If you were to wrestle one more match and you could pick any wrestler, dead or alive, any year from their career to have that one match against, and also pick your year, what year Stone Cold Steve Austin would you pick? Match it up for us. That's a good question, right?
Well, it's a tough question because there's so many great people that I have so much respect for. You know, Undertaker came over to the house, Mark came by the house and did some broken skull sessions. And we always talked about his match with Bruiser Brody. He got roughed up a little bit. And when Brody used to come down to the Sportatorium down there in Dallas, Texas, I was in college right before I got into business. And I'd go down there and see him just beat the snot out of people. And I always just loved the way him and Stan Hansen used to walk out to the ring in Japan and swing those chains. They didn't care. So Bruiser Brody would be really high on my list. It'd obviously be in prime Stone Cold brawling years,
yep,
post-pile driver, because that's the only way a Stone Cold could have matched up with the power, force, size, and strength and wild man tactics of a Bruiser Brody.
Mm. Bruiser Brody's face, like the amount, what he put into wrestling, the amount of like cutting he did on his forehead, and just, whew.
Geez. Dude, if Bruiser Brody walked through the doors of the PC down there in Orlando, wherever the hell it's at, and there's guys that are bigger than him down there now, but there was something about Brody, the way he was built, his athleticism and that look. Man, the guy had money written all over him. If you could invent another Brody and bring him back into 2021, it'd be amazing.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love that answer. All right, so you got other stuff you got to do. You have other shows you're going to go on. But everyone check out Stone Cold, Straight Up Steve Austin, January 11th, USA. Great lineup. I was watching the promo this morning. Great lineup of guests. Also, we are friends. I don't even know if I'm allowed to say this, but I did actually appear. I was interviewed for your documentary that's coming up. And
very
I had
cool.
some nice things to say, obviously. What else would I say? They probably cut everything I said just because I was like, dude, Stone Cold was so awesome.
You were probably telling them, they're like, what's your favorite memory? And you were like, do you remember when he did this?
Yeah. Yeah, they were just like, okay, cool, dude. You're too much of a fanboy. Thanks anyway. I'm excited for that.
I've seen a little bit of that.
Yeah, so that should be great. But awesome to catch up with you, man. We really appreciate it. And friend to friends, you know, great to have you on.
Hey, man, great seeing you guys. Stay safe. And one of these days we'll get a chance to do this again in person.
Yes, please.
And I really appreciate it.
We're going to
drink a beer.
If you get a goddamn pad on the floor, I will.
Okay.
But just sell it. And, you know, I appreciate you guys helping me plug the show. This is our second season. I've really enjoyed, you know, this segment of wherever I am in my life as far as a job goes.
Yeah.
Because it's a damn blast to work with the people that I'm working with. And basically I get paid to get on TV and have a good time and hear someone's stories and raise hell with them. So, shit, I'm almost stone cold. But
love
I'm Steve Austin.
I love it.
Steve Austin. Thanks for helping me.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, thanks, Stone Cold. We'll talk to you later, man.
Catch you on the next one.
All right, see ya.
Man.
Whether you're searching for a home to buy or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes so you can find the home that's just right for you. You can favorite homes, share listings with others, and even schedule tours with a local Redfin agent all in the app. When you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. So download the Redfin app today to get started. Okay, let's wrap it up with Guys on Chicks. We got a big Friday show getting ready for divisional round. I love divisional round so much. I fucking love divisional round. I'm so excited for divisional round. I'm so excited.
Can we call it super divisional round?
Because I do think that there's...
It should be super.
I really think every team should make the playoffs now, just so that we can have more football, and it just isn't a... 16 games in the first weekend, 16 teams get a bye, and 8 teams get a double bye. Uh-huh.
How about this, Big Cat? How about we have a 17-week-long playoff, and then after 17 weeks, you go based on, like, the group play.
Yeah.
And then those teams advance.
No, but all the teams advance.
But they already did. They were already in the playoffs.
Yeah, no. I just want to try to get more football.
All right,
more
super playoff games. Divisional round weekend.
Yeah. All right, Hank, Guys on Chicks.
Hey, boys, once again, mainly Handsome Hank. Thanks for reading my question a couple months ago about whether functional athleticism is more important than being jacked. The same boyfriend who claims to have functional athleticism took your advice and administered his own combine. He's most impressed with his punt, pass, kick competition results of 132 yards. Is 132 yards a replaceable number for punt, a respectable number for punt, pass, kick, and should he be bragging about it?
No, it's 40. That's what, 40 yards per?
Yeah, that's not good. 132? No, because that's probably, I would imagine, not that far of a field. Like, he probably kicked a 30-yard field goal.
34?
And a 50-yard punt and a 50-yard pass?
44 is not that good.
Oh, I think 40, that's decent.
No,
you think you could beat it?
Oh, 1,000,000%.
Okay.
35-yard kick.
Yeah, exactly. And then 35-yard punt, and then 70-yard pass.
you could easily beat that. Anybody could.
I do love this guy because there's something about, like, losing your functional athleticism overnight, and you just don't even realize it because you're not using it every day. And then, like, you know, so you basically you're this great athlete, maybe played a little ball in college. Then you stop using it, and one day you wake up and you got to fight Jose Canseco, and you're like, shit, I don't have it anymore.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
That can happen.
No, but that's why you start training when the first inkling of it happens, so it's not day one today.
You remember back in elementary school when we'd have presidential fitness tests? They should do those, but just for adults.
That would be awesome.
Every age, but it gets, like, easier. You don't do the same. You don't do the flexed arm hang. You don't do the pull-ups. You don't do the V-sit as you get older. It's just, like,
getting off the couch.
Can you install a car seat in under 5 minutes?
No. Dude, that's actually the hardest.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You have to get presidential in under 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Can you walk up 2 flights of stairs and then have sex?
Mm-hmm. No.
No. Also no.
No.
You have to be
I thought you were saying, can you walk up 2 flights of stairs and say a sentence?
No.
Dear PMT fellas, I went to dinner with my boyfriend's family, and they talked about how much they hate tattoos. Little did they know I had just gotten one the night before. I'm going to the beach with them in a few weeks, and my new tattoo is easily visible in a bathing suit. Should I break the news to them or wait until vacation to surprise them?
Ooh, depends on what the tattoo is.
Makeup.
If it's angel wings, then I think everyone appreciates, like, a giant set of angel wings on the back of a girl.
I think you actually should just tell them the actual truth, because that's a funny story. Be like, remember the other night when you were saying how much you hate tattoos? Well, I actually got one 24 hours beforehand. Haha. And then hope that works. Maybe throw in the SpongeBob laugh, just as, like, a icebreaker.
Hello to my favorite boys. Sorry for your loss, Dad Cat and PFT. Maybe your teams will bounce back next year. Probably not.
Definitely not.
Should I be self-conscious about my boyfriend jerking off mere hours after I gave him a blowjob? I gave him a blowjob in the morning on a Saturday, and when I left his house and met up with him a few hours later, he mentioned he jerked off before he took a shower.
Oh, wow. That's a...
That's a compliment. So he's memory hold the blowjob, and he's like, I can't wait to rub one out while thinking about this.
Bragger.
Yeah.
Like, I've come twice today.
It's noon. I mean, I remember my first time. My first time, I was, at one point, I was thinking, I can't wait to crank off to this later. This is perfect for the spank bank. Guys think like that.
What's up, Chunk Cat and Big Dick Billy? Ooh. My boyfriend and I have been dating for a week, and we have not had sex yet, only kissed. He jerks off in front of me and makes me clean it up with a paper towel. I asked him, why don't you come on my back? And he says, because it's nasty. Do you think he knows how to have sex?
Yeah. We need to clean up Guys on Chicks. It's got to be less sex and more, like, actual functional, like, what do guys think? We gotta help them out.
Well, no, it's about chicks.
Chicks.
It's not chicks on guys. It's guys on chicks.
Guys on chicks, but also how we can help everyone out.
All right, here's one then. Hey, guys and Billy. Recently, I moved in with my boyfriend, and one day I went on his laptop to check for a recipe and saw that one of my coworkers' Instagrams was pulled up.
There we go.
I thought nothing of it at the time, but on separate occasions, I was on the computer again and saw that not only my coworker had an OnlyFans, but that my boyfriend was subscribed.
Mm.
I haven't brought it up at all. What should I do?
Supporting women in small business.
Wow. You got to prince of a boyfriend. God, I can't believe Ashley has an OnlyFans. How gross is that?
And then see
what he says.
I think you should do it in front of both of them. Just be like, oh, Ashley, you have an OnlyFans because I know that Billy subscribes to it. Right in front of him. What? That would actually be very – and then film it and send it to us.
I've read so many stories about girls with OnlyFans recently that I feel like 65% of women between the age of like 20 and 40 have an OnlyFans. Is that about accurate?
Newsflash, dudes are horny. You found a way to paywall the horniness.
You found a market weakness that you're exploiting.
Billy has one.
What?
OnlyFans.
Oh, it's for my feet. That was different.
Billy can potentially win more money this month than he's probably ever had it in his life at one time.
I would say that's
between
a fact.
Stool streams and
oh,
the fact.
Rough and Rowdy.
Yeah. Billy might be rich.
By the end of February, I could be very, very wealthy.
Imagine what's going to happen to the parlays.
Imagine how many frogs he's going to have in his barn.
Oh my god!
I wouldn't want to be a frog, dude, in
the New York tri-state area.
Dude, I'm getting a Goliath frog.
Oh my god!
In a huge aquarium, it's gonna be sick.
Billy is the drill tweet. Like, someone help me with my finances. Rent
$6,000
$50,000 on new frogs.
Yeah.
All right, last one.
That was it.
Wait, I got one.
Yeah, go.
I got one. Hi guys, my boyfriend is training for a boxing match. And he doesn't know whether to abstain from jerking off or to jerk off 7 times a day like Tyson Fury said.
Ooh.
What does he do?
Ooh, you're not as cool as Tyson Fury.
Yeah, so you're banned from Warzone and pornography.
We didn't mention, Billy, that you were threatening to let Frank loose to possibly date Jose's daughter.
Yeah, if I beat up Jose, I'm going to introduce Frank to his daughter.
Yeah.
And you guys know Frank.
Yes.
You know what Frank's series is? Raw Dogging with Frank.
Yeah.
Oh. You know what? I'm going to introduce Frank to his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey.
Might just be
and then I'm going to buy his car wash. That's the whole thing. If I win, I'm going to use the money to buy Jose's car wash.
Okay.
And then I'm going to keep his name. I'm going to keep his name on the car wash and make him still come inside autographs on a salary.
So you're gonna
punk him by paying him money for his business.
Yeah, you got
him. And then
my employee
continuing to pay him money.
Yeah,
Fin Dom
on He's a bi-monthly out, basis.
You're gonna cash Jose out and then give him a stipend.
It's Fin Dom.
I can't wait to see how genius. Billy spends his winnings.
Yeah. All right. That's our show. We'll see everyone Friday.
We gotta do our version of broke on Billy, but like get it before he starts getting money.
100.
18.
7.
8.
35.
Billy, if you lose this fight, you have to bring 69 back.
You said 13.
I would, no, because then that's the only thing I have.
50. Fuck. Damn it.
Love you guys.
Fuck.
Whoa.
What?
That's the third 50 in a month.
Whoa.
Whoa.
I'm going to start guessing 50.
Burgers.
That's how it works, right?
Female bed bugs don't have vaginal openings, so males must stab them in the abdomen
you
with their
know
penises.
This.
Yeah, oh, so it's just dome time all the time?
No, it's... Yeah.
Better to be safe than sorry. Say I'm
to remember. Be shying away. I'll be coming for you anyway. Be shying away.